Say, oh my God, it is you.
Easy, friend.
Well, you're still alive.
So far.
Prophet tossed back the rye and set the glass on the bar.
I'd just as soon you kept quiet about my being here, if you wouldn't mind. I know there ain't no Loomis men in town, but...
Oh, I ain't gonna advertise it. But just the same, you're taking quite a chance. Those Loomis men, they come in here all the time. I mean, they haven't been in here in the last couple of days.
Relax, friend. I'll be out of here in a minute, after I take my medicine. Why don't you hit me one more time?
When the man had refilled the shot glass and relieved Prophet of another dime, he corked the bottle.
Well, I best get back over to the hotel. I'm supposed to be dusting. If you need anything, you just give me a holler.
Thanks. This'll be it.
When the man had gone, Prophet decided to sit a spell and give his aching side a reprieve. He hoped those stitches would hold. All he needed was to open that wound again. Beer in one hand, rye in the other, he made for a table at the back of the room, kicked out a chair, and sat down. He sipped the beer and the rye alternately, savoring every sip and noting a definite quelling in the fire in his side. He was nearly finished with the rye when the barman appeared in the door from the hotel, looking pale. The man gave his head a single, philosophical shake.
Oh, well, I'll be goddamned. What rotten luck.
What's that?
The barman jerked a thumb over his shoulder just as three horseback riders appeared in the window behind him, reining their mounts up to a hitching post. They were haloed in dust, and their weapons winked in the waning light.
Loomis men.
Prophet did not move. He sat frozen in his chair, boots propped up on another chair, arms crossed on his chest, head tipped so that anyone giving him a casual glance might think he was napping. But beneath the inclined brim of Layla Carr's father's Stetson, he watched the three dusty riders approach.
Hey, Mort, three whiskeys and make it fast. We ain't supposed to be here.
And as far as you're concerned, we ain't been here, okay, Mort?
The three made their way to a table near the window. Mort, the bartender, just stood in the door to the hotel, looking pale. He glanced cautiously at Prophet, as if to ask him why in the hell he hadn't hightailed it when he'd had the chance. Quickly, he cut his eyes back to the three dusty men, forced a smile, and moved toward the bar.
Oh, sure, sure, boys. Whatever you say, three whiskeys coming right up.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. Oh, sure wish I could get a woman to say that. Whatever you say, Roy.
Mort brought a bottle and three shot glasses.
Hey, Mort, you say that again, will you?
What's that, Roy?
Say, whatever you say, Roy.
Oh.
Mort formed a cardboard smile as he poured the whiskey.
Whatever you say, Roy.
Oh, I love it. Mort, will you marry me?
Oh, I don't think so, Roy.
Oh, my God, I'd love to find a woman who'd say that to me just once.
You're too short.
Roy's face lost its expression, and his eyes turned dark.
What's that, Duke?
No one was gonna tell you that, Roy, because you're short.
Easy, Duke.
The third man brought the whiskey to his lips and scowled at Duke, the largest of the three.
You're just funning you, Roy. Now drink up.
You know, Duke, that kind of talk is gonna get you killed one of these days. I'm warning you now.
Oh, you've been warning me since you started at the crosshatch, Roy.
He smiled wolfishly at the short cowboy.
And I keep telling you to make your move, Roy.
Cut it out, the both of you.
Duke turned to the bartender, who was standing stiffly between the third man and Roy and cutting sidelong glances at Prophet while he fidgeted with the bottle in his hand.
Do that to me again, Mort, and pour another round for my friends here. Oh, I'm just joshing you, Roy, for God's sakes.
I don't like it,
sourpuss.
Mort poured three more shots and recorked the bottle.
If you boys ain't supposed to be here, where are you supposed to be?
He cut another fearful look toward Prophet.
We're supposed to be looking around here for that bounty hunter.
Just supposed to swing through town, see if he swung back on us, and then ride right back out to the ranch without stopping in here.
But how could we thoroughly check the town without stopping in here, eh, Mort? Steve.
Prophet thought the barman was liable to have a stroke.
You won't tell on us, will you, Mort?
Nope, won't tell.
He turned and headed back to the bar as though walking on eggshells.
You haven't seen him, have you, Mort? You know, the big hombre who shot Little Stu?
Mort turned behind the bar and did not look at the third man.
No, I ain't seen him, Steve.
There, we checked the town. Mort knows about anything and everything happening in Little Missouri, don't you, Mort?
Oh, yeah, that's about right, I reckon, Steve.
I think he's dead.
I don't. I think one of those pretty butte nesters took him in. I told Mr. Loomis that myself, and I think he agrees.
We done checked that pretty butte country.
Yeah, but they're sneaky, them people. They take him in just because he's against us.
Oh, you just want to pay another visit to that car, bitch.
She ain't bad.
Hell, Duke, you crawl between her legs, you'd have a stroke.
Yeah, but what a way to go.
Mort stood at the bar, staring warily off into space, as if awaiting an imminent earthquake. Prophet sat about 20 yards behind the three men, half facing two. All at once, the men froze in their seats, as if hearing something far off in the distance, or as if the same thought dawned on each of them simultaneously. They looked at each other, cutting their eyes around, but not moving their heads. Finally, Steve leaned to look around Roy at Prophet. The other two turned in their chairs at the same time to regard the stranger sitting behind them, their faces pale with startled understanding. Prophet tipped his head back, revealing his face.
Howdy ho.
The men stared at him in mute shock.
Oh boy, here we go.
The bartender ducked behind the bar. Suddenly, all three Loomis men jerked to their feet at once, clawing iron. With his right hand, Prophet reached for the butt of his greener over his right shoulder, bringing it over his head and down in one fluid swing, thumbing the right rabbit ear back and pulling one of the triggers. Vaguely, through the smoke, Prophet saw Duke and Roy go down hard, spewing blood. They hadn't hit the floor before Prophet leveled the barn blaster on Steve, who was bringing his revolver to bear, and let him have the left barrel. Steve flew backward off of his feet and through the window, landing on the boardwalk in a rain of glass and viscera. Prophet started forward when Duke climbed to a knee and lifted his revolver. Prophet stopped, clawed his peacemaker from his holster, and shot Duke in the head. Duke hit the floor like a sack of potatoes, flinging his gun toward the bat wings. Prophet remained crouched, gun drawn, until he was sure all three men were dead. The barman rose from behind the bar, his face white as paper, his eyes bloodshot. He scrutinized the carnage, the table Roy had wrecked when he fell on it, and the shattered window.
Oh, you know, I knew you were trouble the first time I laid eyes on you.
That's funny. My mama told me the same thing.
Prophet mounted Mean and Ugly and rode north of town, following an old horse trail through the buttes. He glanced over his shoulder to make sure no one was following him.
What the hell are you gonna do now?
What he'd intended to do was to get the hell out of here. And if he was smart, he'd follow through with his plan. The only problem was that, when he got right down to it, he didn't feel like running. He'd been shot and chased and run aground, and he was getting damn tired of it. It was time to face those chasing him and put an end to the trouble once and for all.
So what are you gonna do? Take on Loomis and his entire crosshatch gang?
Several minutes passed before he turned his horse into a ravine and nodded, pursing his lips.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm gonna do. One way or another.